Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
And I think it's a powerful word to us. So I'm going to read to you out of the text. So Genesis 50, starting in verse 15, it says this. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said to one another, "If Joseph is holding a grudge against us, he will certainly repay us for all the suffering we have caused him." So they sent this message to Joseph. "Before he died, your father gave a command. Say this to Joseph, please forgive your brother's transgression and their sin, the suffering they caused you. Therefore, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when their message came to him. His brothers also came to him, bowed down before him, and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many people." Today, as we've been walking through this story rings true, okay? It rings true because we all go through circumstances where we may wonder what God is up to. And Joseph's words here are critical for us to understand, is that God has a plan and he will bring it about. So our story, we started looking at the story of Joseph several weeks ago. We found Joseph was a young man who God had a calling on. God was calling him to be his servant, and he was going to use Joseph in key and critical ways. Joseph began to have dreams. In those dreams, his brothers bowed down to him and served him. And he told his family these dreams, which is a very big mistake on his part. He said, "Hey, I had this dream," and as a result, his brothers hated him. Eventually, they sold him into slavery. And Joseph went to Egypt because of his brothers' jealousy and hatred. And in Egypt, he found that God was still with him. Even though he was alone and he was in a new place with new people, even though he was a slave in the house of a man named Potiphar, God still was with Joseph. And he prospered. But it wasn't for a long season that he prospered. Soon he was accused falsely and then thrown into prison. But God was still with Joseph, and he rose to prominence in the prison, so much so that he ran everything, which is certainly unprecedented, right? To have a man who's a slave and a prisoner running the prison in which he is an inmate. And yet God works like that. He does unusual things through ordinary people. And then one day, Joseph is elevated to become the second most important person in all of Egypt. And he does so because he interprets the dream of Pharaoh, which was that there was going to be a famine over the entire region. There were going to be 7 good years followed by 7 years of incredible drought and famine where no one would have anything to eat. And Joseph counsels Pharaoh and says, "Hey, I encourage you to save up during the good years so that in the lean years, you'll have enough food to provide for everybody." And Pharaoh says, "You're right. And there's nobody else like you, Joseph. So you will be the one in charge of that project." And he is elevated. Then God uses Joseph to provide for his family. And the entire family, his dad and all his brothers, move to Egypt. And when his dad dies, the brothers begin to fear for their own lives, thinking that now Joseph will take out his revenge against them. And his dream comes true because they come and bow down and serve him, just like he originally had this dream. And in this moment, he's able to execute justice against his brothers who are his enemies. But what does he do? He tells them something that is critical, something that has guided his entire life, and that is this, is that God is ultimately in charge of everything. Let me read that verse to you again. Verse 19, Joseph says to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" He goes, "I'm not God. I'm just a person." Verse 20, "You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Joseph understands that God has a sovereign plan and he will accomplish it. Joseph was just an actor in a play that God had written. He played a part, but ultimately God was the one who was in charge. And as a result, he was able to extend grace and mercy to people who did not deserve it because he knew that God was ultimately in charge. He was able to extend grace from a place of submission to an almighty God. It's the only way we can really forgive other people. So when we understand that God is ultimately in control, that we don't have to get even because God sees it and he will act and he is doing something powerful even though we don't see all the pieces. The disciples have the same mentality when it came to Jesus being crucified on the cross. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 4, verse 27 to 28, the disciples are experiencing incredible persecution. Peter and John were thrown into prison. God liberates them. And then they pray a prayer in Acts chapter 4 that is incredibly powerful. They say this. As they're praying, they say, "For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place." So what they're saying here is they're saying, hey, all the power players in this city, Herod, the Sanhedrin, and all the people, they conspired against Jesus to have him killed. And it seemed like they were winning, but it was only because you allowed it to happen, because your plan that you had set into motion before time began was accomplished. It was predestined to happen. Therefore, in the moment that we're in, we have no fear at all. Why? Because God has a plan. And I think this is a timely word for us because we're in a season of transition. And no one's hurt each other here. Like, we're in a season of incredible health. That's why I love that this transition is a moment of obedience, not a moment of upset people or people who are angry at each other or any kind of dysfunction. This is simply God placing a calling on my life and on Tabitha's life to have us take a step of obedience into his plan. He's calling us into something new. Something unexpected that we were not looking towards, but we have said yes to the Lord. And so we're stepping into it, not knowing where it's going to take us. The safest place for us to have been for the next 30 years is right here in this room. And yet God calls us to take steps of obedience in every part of our life. And when he calls us to step into them, you better believe that we ought to obey. Because he's sovereign and he will accomplish his plan. And so today, as we look towards the future, we may feel like we don't know what's next. You may wonder what's next for the Gospel Church. My encouragement to you is to say to the Lord, God, you have a plan. And we cannot wait to see how you're going to unfold that plan, but you are ultimately in charge because you care. Far more than we ever could. So there are four things I wanted to share with you as I'm taking this step into a new moment, a new part of ministry for me and Tabitha. I have four kind of charges that I want you to to own today. Four ideas that I think are really critical for us to navigate the future. Okay? First one is this, is that this church belongs to Jesus. This church, the Gospel Church, belongs to Jesus. It does not belong to Mike Harder. It does not really belong to you. It doesn't belong to the partners. It belongs to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus sees the church as his bride, and he paid the ultimate price to make her his own. Jesus says he will build his church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Jesus is the Lord of his church. It is his. And he loves it so much more than any of us could ever imagine. And so my pastoring of this church over the years has simply been this. It's been me giving this church back to God, saying, it's your church. What do you want to do with it? And then we will die trying to make that happen. We're going to follow you wherever you want because it is your church. And I believe that this church was spoken into existence by God when he called me to plant it. That he had a plan for this church. He wanted to build it. And let me just tell you this. Like, when we planted it, there were a lot of reasons why we shouldn't have. In fact, the first one simply was that I didn't know if God was going to do anything with it, right? Because when he called us, it was simply me, my wife Tabitha, and my friend Brad and his family. That was it. And I remember my wife asking me, hey, so where do you think all these people are going to come from? Because she didn't grow up in a ministry family, okay? She'd always gone to church. It was already there. She didn't have any context to like what church planning was like. And I remember telling her, God is going to bring the people. We just need to be faithful to go obey what God has called us to do, which is to take the very next step that's in front of us, which is to move to Nashville and get started. And I remember moving to Nashville. I was the first one moved here. And from our team, and I remember moving into my apartment in Green Hills and just feeling incredibly alone. Like, I didn't know anybody in the city. And I was like, what are you doing, God? But the faithfulness that God has shown us, where he has brought person after person, voice after voice, story after story, has been breathtaking. We've seen hundreds of people get saved and get baptized. We've seen thousands of people walk through these doors and have their lives changed forever because of a single act of obedience of saying, yes, we're in. And that is a beautiful testimony to God building his church. So know this, going forward, even though I'm not going to be the pastor, it's still God's church. He's ultimately the senior pastor of the gospel church. That's what the Bible says. It says Jesus is the chief shepherd of his church, and he's the good shepherd. So if you are in a moment of fear or anxiety as to what's next, know this, God loves this church, and he will never abandon it. He will not. And if you submit yourself to his plan, he will do something incredible. Secondly, we, you and I, are an eternal family. We are an eternal family. We're not people that just go to an event together or a worship service together. We are the immortal, adopted children of the God of the universe. Isn't that an incredible reality? If you are in Christ, it means that God has adopted you into his family. He's made you his own. You're a son or daughter of the King of the universe. And you have this family that is not just for a year or a season or a time where you worship together. It's an eternity together. And I think some of you guys just got depressed thinking, I'm going to have to hang out with some of these jokers forever. The answer is yes. Yes. Jesus has called you to be a part of an eternal family. So the moments that we have together have incredible meaning because they are a prelude to eternity, right? We have a moment where we get to be together and celebrate and do ministry together and break bread together and do life together, but we have an eternity to celebrate Jesus together. And what that means is that even though we are connected now for this time, there will be a brief sundering of our relationship and time together, we are family forever. Forever. And one of my deepest fears is that my leaving as pastor would make people feel like we aren't family anymore. That we are a team, that we are not connected. And I believe that it is Satan's desire to tarnish this moment with fear because of our step of obedience. That's my fear. That people would see this as a negative moment instead of 14 years of God's faithfulness and an eternity more that is coming. because God is faithful and he's created an eternal family. And so I'm hoping to see people in heaven. I'm looking at your faces right now. I'm like, won't we be able to celebrate together God's goodness with an eternal perspective in eternity? That is where we are going. So let's carry that forward. My third point that I want us to see today is that every Christian serves at God's pleasure. Every Christian ultimately is a servant of God, and we serve at his pleasure. We are not free agents. We are not autonomous on our own. We are people that serve God with our life. Joseph was called the suffering servant because God used him and he suffered in that calling. Jesus called himself a servant of God. And if he, our master, is a servant, then we also are servants. And so as Christians, we all are God's servants, and he gets to deploy us as he deems necessary. He gets to send us wherever he wants us to go. There's no such thing as a Christian who gets to tell God no. Like, God, I'm not going to do that. In fact, the one person in the Bible that we find really saying no, God, is a guy named Jonah, okay? Some of you guys are watching Twitter and the news. You're like, oh, man, he's actually going to work this into it, right? Because this past week, and I wasn't going to do this, totally unplanned, all right? But this past week, we saw a whale actually swallow a lobster fisherman, right? And everybody was like, oh, we're working that into the sermon. Because everybody says whales don't swallow people, but now we have evidence, right? The story of Jonah is true, right? What do we know of the story of Jonah? God tells Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. Jonah goes, nope, don't like him. Going to go the other way. God sends a storm. Jonah gets thrown in the water. Then God sends a whale, sends him back to Nineveh to preach. We don't get to tell God no. Right? We just don't. It's part of him being God and us not being God. And as a Christian, we've said this over and over again at the Gospel Church. Our yes must be on the table. God, you can do whatever you want. Sometimes that yes means something different. Like, I honestly thought my yes being on the table meant that I was going to go serve God in South America or in Africa or somewhere in East Asia. And I was like willing to do it. But God called us to Nashville instead. And when we did, when we moved to Nashville, it was not an easy parting from our friends in Memphis. And even though most of us here in Nashville go, hey, you made a significant upgrade moving from Memphis, right? It was not easy because Tabitha and I, we loved Memphis. We loved the just there's a soul that Memphis just has. It's got this like culture that it has a unique attraction, unique feeling to it. And we had so many friends in Memphis. We had hundreds of friends that we were really close to. In fact, we still go on annual trips with our friends from Memphis because we had become so closely connected to them. And when we felt God calling us here, we said goodbye to those relationships and we moved to a new city. And I know a lot of our friends are like, why are you leaving us? But the reason why is right here in this room. The reason why God called us to Nashville is because he had a purpose for the gospel church. And he wanted to do something special in this city. And he wanted to raise up for himself a people for his own possession. And if we had never left Memphis, we never would have met you. And you probably would not know the person sitting next to you today. There would not be a community like this in this city because of our step of obedience. And let me just tell you, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of what God is doing in you. I'm so proud of the things God has done in this church. And as we take this step out, we believe that God has raised up incredible leaders and he's done incredible things. I mean, it's incredibly moving to me and Tabitha to know that the people we've spent time with the most and invested the most in over the last 14 years are the ones who are now going to lead the church to the next step. The people that we've seen as our brothers and sisters, as our spiritual children, the ones that we've poured into the most, are now rising up to lead. And we see friends, our brothers, taking steps of leadership that we've never seen them take before. And it's awe-inspiring. The elders, which, by the way, we have a multi-ethnic elder team, which is just like such an answer to prayer. Aaron, Jeff, and now Donovan love the Lord, and they've laid their lives down to follow him, and I'm so proud of them. Your church is in good hands. Chandler, who's your interim pastor, is one of my closest friends at this church. We like all the same things. It's like Atlanta Braves baseball, basketball. Our wives are even physical therapists, which is pretty cool. It's a weird coincidence. But Chandler is a good man. He's going to love you well. He and Allison love Jesus. And our staff, Lauren, Trey, Miranda, Josh Jenkins, they love you and serve you so well. And as we look towards the future, I think the best days of the Gospel Church are still ahead of us. The best days are coming. Make no mistake, God is doing something special at this church. Which leads me to the last thing I wanted to share with you. I refuse to say goodbye. This is not goodbye. It's see you soon. Because God has a plan and this church belongs to Jesus, because we are an eternal family, because every Christian serves at God's pleasure, this is simply, we'll see you soon. It is not goodbye. Because it's just going to be a moment of time. And in fact, the internet makes it a lot easier for us to see each other soon, right? Maybe in good ways or bad. Instagram, Twitter, social media, we'll see each other online, but we can also see each other in person. And I just want to tell you right now, the posture of our heart is we are available for whatever it is that you need us to do, because we're family, and whatever we can do for you, we want to do. So if you need help, you have my phone number. If you want to talk to somebody, stop by our house. If you want someone to pray with you, we are available. Why? Because we are forever family, and this is not goodbye. It's just, we'll see you soon. Because this is how the body of Christ operates. We follow God, and we love each other well, and that's what we're about. So in closing, I just want to just give God his church. So I'm going to just pray. Would you pray with me? First thing I want us to do before we pray is just to say this. I don't know, this is kind of weird. Can we just say thank you to the Lord out loud? Right? Because he's here. If you feel like God's blessed you through this church, can we just say thank you? So I'm going to say it right now. Thank you. Thank you, God. Because with this one, we're thanking. We're not thanking me. We're thanking Jesus. Because he's been so good. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your faithful love for us. Thank you that we get to serve as servants. It's not about us. It's not about our name. It's not about our renown. It's simply about you. Because you alone are worthy of all praise and glory. And we are so grateful for all of the stories that have been changed forever, all the lives that have been transformed, all the marriages that have been saved, all the children that have been born in this church, all the families that have followed you in your calling, all the lives that are going to continue to be changed, and the stories that will come from the faithfulness of God's people and the leaders that you have raised up in this church. Because again, Jesus, this is yours, and we give it back to you. Anytime we've taken it on ourselves, we're going to say, God, that's not our place. It's yours. This is your bride, and you love it. And so lead us the way that you want us to follow. Because our answer will be yes. It's yes. Because you're the answer to the longing of our heart. So whatever's happened, you've meant this for good. It's been your plan all along. And on June 13th, that you would have another leader for this church. So God, I just want to pray for that pastor. I pray that you would give him boldness, courage, integrity, a heart to hear your voice, and a desire to make your name great. I pray for the people, the members of the Gospel Church, that you would raise them up to be catalytic leaders in Nashville and the nations for your sake. That you would give us a measure of peace in this time as we trust your plan, because we know that there's uncertainty in the air, but you are the rock upon which we stand and we stake our life upon, because you are more than enough. And today, that's not just a slogan or something we say. It's not just something that we declare because it's cool. It's what we live by. It's a sermon we preach with our life, that you're it, and we'll follow you wherever you call us to go, because you're not absent, but you're present. And you still call us to obey. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.